was the photo that you saw.
All that trash.
Yeah, they took the trash out from the jiu-jitsu place, came over and just went through it at my back door, and I'm like, enough's enough.
Yeah.
And that's basically why I posted it. This has got to be brought to the heads above.
Yeah. So, you actually mentioned that you were considering even possibly moving to Anderson.
We've already looked.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've already looked at buildings elsewhere just because it's not fun.
Yeah.
You know, when you can't sleep and you're constantly checking your cameras, I have to turn our notifications off. I looked this morning, about every 20 minutes last night, my cameras went off. People walking by and people just out of it, you know.
Yeah.
I've had drug use at our tables outside. I've had people pass away in our parking lot from overdoses. And that was recent. So
we were my son and I were at an event. Andy Shaddix, a local CPA, was doing a basketball ball handling and fitness session for a bunch of kids, about 20 kids, and he used the facility Lit From Within, and it was great people, great business. And there's I think you pronounce it Raliberto's, the little Mexican taco shop.
Yeah,
it's right there in the corner. My son and I, when it was over, had planned on going over there and eating lunch. Now, we wound up going, but in the time that we started at 1:30 and about 2:15, there had been two individuals. One person who definitely had some mental issues, probably schizophrenic. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but she was screaming and yelling at just, a car.
Yeah, we see it every day.
And then there was another person, though, with a pipe, not sure what they were smoking exactly. And I just said to myself, if they're still there, we're not going to go there.
No.
I just don't want to walk my son by that. And we have conversations, like as a dad trying to, tell my 11-year-old, almost 12-year-old son, what the world has in it and the people that need help and the people that are up to no good and how people sometimes end up in those spots. But I'm glad they moved on because we wound up eating there. But there's a lot of businesses that I'm sure, obviously, they people just don't patronize them because you just don't want to deal with that. So what are you seeing from law enforcement? I know a lot of law enforcement eat at your guys' restaurant.
Oh, absolutely.
So what are they saying?
The sad part of the story is every time we've called them, they'll come out. They'll come out and they'll do some. They usually know my first name. They know exactly who they are. They know exactly what's going on. They take them.
Well, you talk about the individuals.
Talking about the individual I call the police about. They actually know them. It's that prevalent that they know these people by name.
Yeah.
So that's basically frustrating for them, and it's frustrating for us because they are obviously repeat issues, not offenders, but repeat issues.
Yes.
So they've already seen what they've been doing. They take them away, get them away from there, and 20 minutes later, they're back. I mean,
they just come back.
Yeah, it's amazing. Sam Clemente did the interview with me. Literally 10 minutes later, a lady walked down my street with a bra on, basketball shorts, to the bus stop and started smashing her head into the bus stop.
Ugh.
This is 10 minutes after the interview.
Yeah.
I posted this morning that I posted on my Facebook. I'm going to be on Beyond the Radio.
Yeah.
And my Facebook blew up with pictures of the homeless problem, drugs, paraphernalia. I mean, it's a crisis.
Yeah, one of the reasons.
I'll be honest.
Yeah, one of the reasons I've brought up, and county council and mostly our new CEO, Dave Rickert, is looking into it, but becoming a charter county, we're going to have to do some things, I believe, that are really outside the box. For Shasta County, I mean, obviously we're in California. California has essentially decriminalized crime.
Exactly.
But I think we're past the point where these are issues and this becomes a crisis. This becomes something that is, I think we're at that tipping point now where if we don't really, really, in an outside-the-box way, get aggressive at what we're doing, we're going to wind up looking like Portland.
I'm from Portland.
You're from Portland.
Yeah, I'm born and raised in Portland, and that's why I'm so outspoken about this. Is I lived through it. I've seen it. I had to sell my businesses in Portland. Here's the thing. My wife and I do not want our business to suffer because of it. I don't want to. The first time I hear somebody say, I'm not going to go to Lucky Miller's because the crime.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose my mind.
know, yeah.
It's our passion. We do a lot for the community. We support the community. And that's the last thing I want to hear. And it's starting to get to that point. And that's what I'm nervous about. I have customers coming in. That's it. They're like, we've seen the crime. We've, you know, my first year there, we had three windows broken out. That cost me about $4,500.
Yeah. And it gets to a point where your insurance just says, you know, if you turn this in, we're either going to drop you or we're just going to raise your premiums.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a real issue. I mean, this isn't just a day-to-day operational issue. This is an insurance issue. This is a safety issue. There's a lot going on here that needs to be addressed big time.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. This is something I would love a straw poll from just people and maybe as you get some information from people. And, you know, how about this? I would actually even, whether we do it at your place or I don't think my I'm just brainstorming. We probably have to find a place that has a lot of outdoor seating. Maybe we do a park, something like that. But what we should do is we should get a bunch of business owners together. And I don't want to call it a town hall because I don't want a bunch of jack wagons coming in to try and hijack it and make it a political thing. Like I would love to get a lot of people together and talk through one issue that I would love to hear a lot of public feedback on is I have been an absolute staunch. We are taxed enough in California.
Agreed.
But I have heard from quite a few people that I really respect fiscally who are extremely conservative as well. And they've actually said, I don't know if it's going to take a bond or a sales tax.
A grant.
Something. And the one thing about grant, if it's one-time money, because we have to get that third floor of the jail open. And one of the things, as I have conversations with Sheriff Mike Johnson, and then, of course, he presented the Board of Supervisors, and you have different, not just opinions, but you have different philosophies about what's needed, whether there's correctional officers or sheriff deputies or what that looks like. There's huge cost ramifications to some of these choices, but one of the things is, you know, we can't afford to not do something drastic soon because we can't keep going down this road. I mean, I've been in office now a little over 7 months, and this problem didn't start, obviously, when I got here. This has been deteriorating and deteriorating fast over the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And, but there's going to be things that need to be done that might not even be popular to some groups, but losing businesses like yours, I know there's two or three businesses that have left, not just Redding, but Shasta County.
Yep.
And what's a killer to me, I'll tell you what's a killer to me, is when I have friends that move out of county. Now, out of state, I get that, if they say, we're out of here. But if they leave Shasta County and they go to Siskiyou County, Modoc, Humboldt, Glenn, or they go all the way south and say, look, you know, if I'm going to deal with tons of crime and everything else, I might as well just go live right outside of L.A. And that bothers me almost the most. Because
I agree with you. Even tourists. I mean, this city is – we're made for tourists to come down and enjoy the lakes. That's the last thing I want a tourist to see when they roam through it. Come to our town is
exactly.
This.
The tourism, we're definitely missing that boat. But I do believe that the Shasta County Chamber and some other things that are being worked on, we're going to get tourism at a whole new height that Shasta County's never seen. Okay, so let me ask you this. So getting back, what do you hear? Does anybody ever say anything to you about a sales tax or a bond? Does that ever come up in your circles? Anybody talk about that?
No.
Okay.
No, they don't. It's just the main issue of the problem. I mean, I'm sure it's a mental health crisis. That's what I consider it. It's a mental health crisis. You can give them – I've had homeless advocates come in. I had one come in yesterday, and we had a lengthy talk about it. And she's given them homes, and she's given them places to stay and fed them, and her foundation's done a ton for them. They still have the mental issue.
Yeah.
It's still mental, not – they don't mind living on the street. A lot of these people don't want to help. They don't want to get off the street. So,
and one of the issues we have, obviously, in California is you can't make people get help that don't want to get help.
Exactly.
And so if you're not mentally competent to understand you need help, then, you know, you're going to have a really tough time going somewhere and staying somewhere that you decide on a whim that you don't want to be there anymore.
And I think that's the police's biggest, the Redding police, I think that's their biggest issue is, look, they have no problem arresting them. They have no problem taking them to jail. they just get right back out.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's no one fix, but well, let's do this. We're coming up at our first break. When we come back out of the break, let's talk a little bit more about the response that you've seen from people coming out to your business after things happen. And what are some things that maybe we would be able to do collectively to rally the voice of the business community, especially in District 1? And again, this isn't a political District 1, but it's about like Reading, like the central core Reading businesses that are really affected by this, like Athens, Cypress, downtown, some of those areas. So we'll be back after this break. Be right back. Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
At Lulu's Eating and Drinking Establishment, we serve great food and drinks at affordable prices with friendly service. Open 7 days a week, 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sundays. From our homemade soups, salads, and sandwiches to great steaks, seafood, and Italian dishes, everything is made fresh. And we're happy to serve your meals to go. Simply call in your order to 243-6251. Daily specials and prime rib any time of the day. Meet your friends at Lulu's Eating and Drinking Establishment, where Pine Street meets Cypress Avenue.
All right, we are back. Kevin Cry, this is my show. And on my show today, I have Jason Miller, owner of Lucky Miller's Deli down on Athens. Phenomenal place. If you haven't eaten there, you got to make sure you get in there. We have a caller, so we're going to take a call. Hadn't planned on taking any callers. So if you called in earlier and they said we weren't taking callers, I apologize. But we are going to take this next caller. Is that you, Dale?
Yes.
All right. Well, I saw it up on the board, and when she spelled it, I wasn't sure. But so she came in and said who it was. I said, okay, yeah, we'll take it. So, Dale, you have a question for Jason or I?
Well, I appreciate it. Well, a couple things. I mean, you've done a great job. District 1 is obviously right in the middle of Reading. But, you know, this mostly, like you said, people are going to Anderson, other cities. It's a city of Reading problem. If they won't enforce the law, the problem's right behind City Hall. You drive back there, right behind the police station. They're doing drugs, prostitution. Our business is affected every day. I have to clean up all the crap every morning. On your other part, though, just real quick, on the sales tax, never fly until we start spending the money we're getting now properly. There's plenty of AB 109 money, $8 to $9 million a year. We're using some of it to fund the jail, but most of it we're using to fund failed programs. Almost $6 million, I think, is going to probation.
Yeah, one of the things.
Take that money.
Yeah, one of the things, and make sure I want to really clarify, like, I'm not for a sales tax. What I am for is a collaborative effort of hearing what other people, what their experiences are to see at what point is this a tipping point where it's going to take a much, much harder, and when I say harder, I don't want to say extreme, but I want to say something that really nobody in our regional area is thinking or doing. And that's why, again, I always go back to being a charter county, so we can have as much local control as possible.
Yes, exactly.
So let me ask you, Dale, the behind City Hall, and I know you've spoke out at meetings a few times, either at the Board of Supervisors, but very often at the City of Reading. What is the response you get from Chief Schuler when it comes to his comments about illegal camping and some of the stuff that does take place there?
Well, they just, you know, they try to blame everything on California. They try to, you know, blame it on that. Which, yeah, California's a drag. But there's 488 cities in California, and the City of Reading is, I think, like 470th on crime. Why can't we be number one? You know, like I said, we watch in the City of Anderson, they're able to arrest people. They're able to. It's easier to take care of the problem when the first tent goes up than waiting until there's 50.
Anderson's philosophy for years, and this goes back, actually, I believe, when Sheriff Johnson was Chief Johnson down in Anderson, they would arrest him in Anderson and bring him to Reading.
Yeah.
And then when they'd get out,
And then that's one of their excuses that they use. And this, and that's just another straw man's argument. They, trust me, I helped clean up all of them. Behind Players Pizza down there, there was 50 homeless camps.
No, I know.
And they ended up back down there. Jail's in Orland. In Oroville.
It's not yet
and
downtown.
And they all end up back in Chico.
Exactly. The one thing that I know, or not one thing, but I'm very excited about CEO Rickert. I mean, he's only been boots on the ground for 3 or 4 months. His extensive background, obviously as a treasurer for elected treasurer for over 22 years, and as a city administrator for an area much larger than ours, he's done work with law enforcement and jail. So he has some ideas. And the other thing too is Laura Birch. When you talk about failed programs, Laura Birch and her department at HHSA has a audit program now where they're actually putting. Or they've put steps in to audit programs. And so she's actually already, there's been two programs that have been heavily affected, and those aren't just, I would say, marched out in front where they're embarrassed. But it's been great because what we've had is we're getting some accountability. And I agree with you, there's a lot of money spent, and the money needs to go to the programs that are garnering success. So, Dale, thanks a lot for calling.
Well, the AB 109 money all goes through a board. And the problem with that board has always been is there's three people on the board, usually the sheriff. It just, you know, depends on whoever the sheriff is. The DA and the chief of police for Reading always want to spend the money on our incarceration. But the other four members who, let me see, probation, the head of the court, I forget all of them. It's been a while since I've been to one of their meetings. But the four of them always want to spend it. Well, Donnell Ewart was one of them, who's no longer, his replacement would now be. They always want to spend them on all the social programs.
Yeah, well, and again, that's...
Instead of incarcerating.
And that's what's, I think, super important with our board majority right now, or the direction of the board is going, is it's becoming... Where it is much more about accountability and answers. Like we need to see answers.
And you guys finalize that CCCP budget. It goes in front of you, and you can say no. We don't want to spend it on all these. We want to spend some on the jail. Let's open the floor.
Because the last thing I want to do, and the last thing I'll say, Dale, before we move on, is it's really important to me that we don't lose businesses like Lucky Miller's. No more. Like we have to stand up for the people that are taking care of us in our community.
Yes, and that's why I was down there. What was it? I think it was Thanksgiving night, boarding up his business when they broke windows out.
It was, Dale.
This isn't something new.
It was, Dale, and thank you.
All right, thank you, Dale. Appreciate it.
You guys, keep up the fight.
You bet. So, Jason, with when people come into the restaurant and they're talking about their week and their, you know, whatever vocation they are, what do you feel is the pulse? Are most people telling you that they feel like Do they see it that Reading or Shasta County is soft on crime? Do they see it that we're just overrun by drugs? Do they see it that we have mental health? What's the pulse? I mean, it's all one problem.
Yeah.
But what do you think is more of the angle?
I think it's the same as what I was saying about the police. Is we take them to jail and they're released. That's the bit. That is literally the number one thing. Is look, this guy busted out my window. The police came, took him to jail, and then the next day I see him walking up Cypress. That's literally what we see. And that's as a business owner. This is us looking in from the outside, not being on the inside like you guys. From the outside, I have business owners that come in and say, I've put fencing up. I've done this. I've tried to do that. They broke my fencing. I mean, I'll give you a great example. Pop's 50.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happened to him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect example. That guy's business was totally directly affected by somebody starting a fire in his back area, and he's now –
Yeah.
Now look.
Exactly.
He's got to wait for insurance. He's got to re-permit it. He doesn't know if he can rebuild because it's grandfathered in.
Well, and plus the cost.
These are huge issues that we worry about. The business people that I deal with and come into my deli all the time, that's what we're worried about is where is this going?
Yeah.
What direction, what game plan do you guys have to help us out as a business? And it's not just put on you guys. The community's there for you guys too.
Yeah.
The business owners, we're here. It's going to take all of us to fix this. Yeah. It's not just an issue where you guys go throw some money at it.
Absolutely.
That's not it.
When you say, inside, I mean, I'm you just 6 or 7 months in a different direction. I mean, I'm still – that's the thing with me is I'm still asking questions because, I mean, I haven't been involved in government. I've been running my business and taking care of my family and doing what I thought needed to happen. And so now that I see – where some of the bottlenecks are when you talk about pensions and unfunded liabilities, and if you replace the jail correctional officers and you bring in all sheriff deputies, what does that have in terms of long-term financial impact to the county?
Yeah.
And, I mean, 98 out of 100 people that understand that say that the county simply just can't afford that. But then I ask, like, what can we – I mean, can we afford not to do some of that? And where can we take that money from? Well, then you look at – you know, what programs do you cut or who doesn't get fully funded to do that? But right now, if the state of California is going to, and there's no conservatorship type of program or laws where we can make people, like where it's like a 51-50 where they're held and they're there for 30 or 60 days, if we can't go that direction, then we just have to incarcerate people for longer because what we're doing is just driving businesses out. And the more businesses that leave, the less tax revenue we get.
Bingo.
The less tax revenue we get.
Bingo. Exactly.
And that's where...
You're going to run out of money from coming in from businesses.
Absolutely.
And customers that go to those businesses, you're going to run out of money.
Yeah, when you look at California and how many companies and businesses that have left California, I mean, Tesla, Daily Wire, there's been a bunch of companies.
Exodus. It's a mass exodus right now.
There's a lot of companies and a lot of revenue that's been lost because of that. So that's where I say I think.
And trust me, we feel the pain. I mean, businesses right now are struggling. We are all struggling. I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
I mean, after COVID, we're struggling. We haven't gone back to our normal numbers.
Yeah.
And the economy, gas, I mean, when we hear it's as expensive to go to Safeway and get food, buy food, as it is to come into your deli.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Because it used to be the other way where, hey, you guys, you're a treat because we are expensive. I'm not gonna deny that. Our food is excellent.
Yeah, I wouldn't say expensive. I would say it's priced competitively for the quality.
It has to be. Shutting the doors.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you know what? And you're exactly right. It almost costs just as much to purchase the food and make it yourself, and what you know. So, so let me ask you this: as we talk about these, what do you think? Where's a good help me think about a location that we could actually put something together? And I'm not talking this as like a Shasta County Chamber or a Redding Chamber or an Anderson or Palisades or a Cottonwood Chamber. I don't want to do a chamber meeting. I don't want to do a meet and greet. I don't want to do something that is I want it to be driven towards answers and solutions. So this week, if you can, why don't you guys, you know, just do ask a few people and let's put something together.
Yeah, but this has to be a direct. So the Board of Supervisors and it's really hard. We can go up there and say our 5 minutes piece, but you guys can't talk back to us.
Well, we can, but the problem is these meetings have been just absolutely hijacked, and that's why I wanted to have you come in here, and I wouldn't necessarily – I think a lot of people need to know really how bad this is.
Yeah.
Because I've had other people. There's a gentleman, I won't say his last name, but his name's Ken. Great guy. And he said, you know, if it keeps going this way, I don't know that I can stay here.
Yeah,
and we've all heard that, but everybody has that breaking point where their car gets broken into, something happens with their business, or someone gets shoved at a Target. You know, that happened a few months ago to somebody I know. So it's, you just get to the point where you're like, all right, like everyone has their breaking point. And, it's going to be some extreme stuff. We're going to take one more caller, I think, because I know there's some people that have called in. Okay, so we have Ron. Ron, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Part of the problem, I mean, much of the problem as I can see it, is the drugs. And when these guys get on the drugs, they're considered as disabled. So they get a check between $800 and $1,000 a month, from what I understand from a friend of mine. Who's, anyway, so with that money, they can buy more drugs. They also get an EBT card, so that will buy their food. And now that I'm hearing that they're selling the EBT card, or they'll let somebody use it. Give them $20, and you can use my EBT card, so that guy can or person can go down and at the market and buy whatever food he needs. And then the state of California, I guess, covers that. And they also get a some sort of a card if they get sick or they get hurt. They go to the hospital and get treatment. So there's got to be some way we can take that money away from them to buy the drugs.
That's a great question.
And I'll let you go so you can.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
No, you bet. So the one thing is, with some of that, I mean the fix that sounds very simple, and I agree. It's absolutely asinine that people are taking money that's meant for their food and their sustained way of life, and then sell it so they can get money for drugs. And again, this becomes a California problem. And this is where, again, I'm gonna keep harping on this, because you're gonna hear me really talk about it more and more in these coming months. There's an effort to get rid of me that has slowed the efforts of some of the things I want to do. But the Charter County, I think, is definitely a direction that I'm going to continue to look and push to, because we have to be able to say from a local control perspective that we need to do things differently here. And if the Shasta County people can oversee our destiny ourselves, I think we can figure this out with great people like Jason. Jason, is there anything else that you want to share before we go to our next break and then we say goodbye? Or see you later. I don't like to say goodbye.
No, I just I appreciate the time. I'm going to be going through this with you.
Yes. Well,
I'm not leaving this one.
Yeah.
This is something that I'm passionate about. I've seen what it did to destroy Portland. We all know what it did to San Francisco. So, like I said, it's going to take our community along with you guys to get this done.
Yeah.
And let's be the first to do it.
Yeah. No,
let's be the first ones to make it better, make it right, make this community.
Well, I want to bring extreme accountability to the groups that are blocking this, that are virtue signaling, that are saying, because you know, I'll tell you what's not compassionate is allowing somebody to lay in a street when it's 110 degrees with no shirt, no shoes, laying in the sun, no sunblock, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not humane. Like, and people say that it's not fair, it's not humane, it's not legal to do some of the things that are necessary. And these individuals, like, they need help. And we have to get them
help. Big time.
And the people that don't want help, that are just out breaking the law and making it miserable for businesses to operate, they need to be incarcerated. They need to move on. Because Shasta County can no longer be a comfortable landing spot for people that just want a vacation here, camp illegally, and be on our streets. So with that, thank you both so much. If you haven't eaten there before, go check out Lucky Miller's on Athens. One of the best sandwich shops, not just in Shasta County, but in anywhere you'll ever go. Great people. And with that, we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
All right, we are back. Kevin Cry, my show. We got that song twice. It's a great song, so I don't mind it coming on twice. With me today is a new, recent friend of mine named Brian Collier. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
That is an authoritative good morning. So I like that. So I met Brian, I guess you would say met him. He came and spoke at the Board of Supervisors for the first time that I'd ever saw him. And what do you remember when that was? Was that June?
May 20th.
May 20th, okay. So May 20th, he came to a Board of Supervisors meeting and spoke, and he talked a little bit about the settlement in the Zog Fire claim. And some of the stuff that he said really just kind of pricked or pinged my heart a little bit. And again, those are the things that happen, you know, all of us as individuals. Some people will call it intuition. Some will call it the Holy Spirit. Some will call it, elf on the shelf. Who knows what they call it? But there's something inside of you that just gives you that gut, like almost visceral feeling that something needs to be looked into. So I went down this road looking at the Zog Fire settlement and the lack of prosecution of PG&E for starting the Zog Fire. And now it's become quite the hot button topic to the point now where actually we have and we just had another individual walk in, and this is Shelby. So Shelby's walking in. She's going to get on the headset and the mic. But so I invited them both in because there was a meeting this last Friday with the district attorney to discuss the Zog Fire settlement with some people from the community. So, Brian, really quick, while Shelby's getting set up, can you tell us a little bit about when you came on May 20th and wanted to just speak, like how that came about or what made you finally come up and just come up into public comment and ask for help?
I read an article on the Internet, and it told about some of the funds, where they were going. So I wanted to research seeing where else the funds were going because I didn't recognize anything like the Children's Legacy Fund. Bella Vista Farms, just a whole bunch of things. So I tried to get the court records. I couldn't find those. Finally dug up some information, and I had a few items. Then I brought that up to the Board of Supervisors. Then I received an email from the district attorney with the attachment of the full settlement. And I was going through that and really threw up red flags. And just, again, I went back to the supervisors 2 weeks later and asked, this is crazy. This isn't helping the people of Igo and Ono at all. There was $200,000 for the school, and that's it. Other than that, not one other organization, except for the volunteer fire department, and they got $5,000.
Yeah.
So we need to do something about it.
Yeah, well, just to be clear for the listeners and the listeners that have followed this story and especially my show or social media posts, this has never been about settlement dollars for me, albeit it is crazy that $200,000 of the $50 million went directly to the school out there in Igo. But, also I will say before I go back and finish that thought is there was only two organizations that got their money in the first 60 days. Everybody else got their first installment 120 days or up to a year. And the two organizations that got their money first was Cal Fire, which makes sense, and then Children's Legacy Center. Children's Legacy Center got $500,000 in their first 60 days, and IGO doesn't get their $200, which is their full payment, within, you know, 4 months or 120 days. And I thought that was just crazy. And I don't know if that was an oversight or if that was a request maybe by somebody that wanted it later for a fiscal year. Who knows? But again, despite all of that, this has always been about the criminal prosecution for PG&E to me. This has never been about the dollar. So let's go back. So there was a meeting this Wednesday. You know, and I had mentioned to Supervisor Garmin if he wanted to look into this, and he really didn't have a big interest in looking into this. And so I just continued to push forward, and now Supervisor Garmin is very vested into this. More will come out on Tuesday with the letter we're sending to the Attorney General to look into all this. But Shelby, so tell me how Wednesday's meeting came about with the community members. And correct me if I'm wrong, but that was just a community-led meeting to get questions together for the Friday meeting. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah. I'd say about 15, 20 people showed up, and we discussed kind of the...
And one more thing.
Sure.
Just for the listeners,
yeah.
How long have you lived in IGO, or your family's lived in IGO?
My family has lived in Ono for...
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm fifth generation.
Fifth generation,
so,
okay.
Since the 1860s.
Yeah, so I just wanted people to know, like, these two individuals here are IGO Ono people, and Brian, you were running the IGO Inn, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so Shelby, go ahead. Go back to the Wednesday meeting.
Yeah, I thought Tim Garmin was going to be there, and so there was some communication mix-up, but that's okay. You know, we gathered there so that we can come up with some sort of a plan. You know, we understood that only five people could go in, and then we're like, but we really need more. Yes.
On Friday. Okay.
Correct. We really need more because, once again, not very well represented by just five people. So we gathered, we came up with questions. There was a lot more discussed than what we were going to initially talk about there in that meeting.
What was the pulse of the room, Brian, on Wednesday at that meeting with all the community people? Like,
we were united. There was a lot of anger among the community members, and we were ready to get some answers to questions that we had, mm-hmm. at least for the first round.
Yes.
And so these are questions that you guys have never been – nobody from PG&E, no one from the district attorney's office, no one's ever reached out to you guys as a group, as a whole, as a community, and said, hey, this is what's going on, or at this point, this is what happened. Is that correct?
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. I think the only community-wide poll or questioning that was taken into account was, you know, did we have any livestock harmed?
Yeah.
That's it. And that was still when cases were being mediated.
Nobody ever asked that question about?
No, that's the only time we were ever reached out to as a whole, as a people, is to be asked if we had livestock harmed. That was it.
Huh.
The investigator reached out to me about 3 days after the fire was declared out because Charlene and myself, we reported the fire, and we drove up Zogmine trying to get people out of their homes.
Yeah, you were the one that actually
made
the first call, yeah.
And he wanted to know what we had seen at that point. We never got up to where the tree had started. The fire was too much at that point.
Yeah. Okay, so Wednesday's meeting wraps up, and Shelby, you were voluntold, or so they selected you to be the spokesperson for Friday.
Yeah, we all agreed that to have one person speaking would be advantageous, just so there's just not multiple voices going at, and it was so that it would be productive.
Would you guys mind sharing, Brian or Shelby, who are the five people that were invited to come on Friday, and how are they picked, and who picked them?
Well, who was invited and who attended was two different things. You know, and I don't even remember the list of people who were initially invited, but it really didn't include a whole lot of – it didn't include people from the nonprofits. So at that meeting, we decided, okay, so-and-so, they stepped down out of this list that Tim Garmin gave us, and we're going to have someone from this organization come in and step in their place. So, you know, we had...
So people were selected and then said, hey, I'd like to give up my seat
correct.
On the space shuttle
yes.
for somebody else. Gotcha.
We had the water district. We had Neighborhood Watch. We invited them in
yeah.
so we could get a diverse...
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, but that's the one thing. If you look at the Dixie Fire settlement and all the organizations that received money from that settlement, they were all very, very tied to that area.
Yeah,
the $34.5 million, it went to the nonprofits.
Now
and
that,
so
that was the direct the payments, direct payments for community recovery.
Yeah.
Program.
So did you – and, Shelby, it was interesting when I had reached out to you because – and just for the listeners, I met Brian through the Board of Supervisors open comment. He came and he braved the jungle that is our open comment time. And some of the crazies, and so I appreciate that. But Shelby actually wrote all of the Board of Supervisors, and I believe our CEO and our district attorney were CC'd on it as well, or maybe not CC'd, but we were all in that letter. I think there were seven of us, and you just had a lot of questions that you had posed, so that's when I reached out to you and said, hey, I'd like to learn more, and that's how I met you. So let me ask you this. The yesterday you had said, or maybe it was – yeah, it was yesterday. You had said that you read to me the final letter about where money mm-hmm. was to go. And that was the first time I had – and again, I'm always going to come back to this. This is about the criminal prosecution to me, but this is also about giving you guys the platform to share what's on your heart and why you guys are frustrated. But what was that award letter that you read and said where the money was supposed to go?
It was for the recovery and repair of the communities affected by the Zog fire and to honor the victims.
Okay, so the repair, and that was the one thing, the repair of the community. So that's where I'm, again, really curious as the repair of Igo Ono. Where do some of those entities in your mind, Shelby, fall into going towards the repair of your beloved community?
Right. Well, that was the whole reason why, and to be clear, I wasn't the only one that wrote that letter. So two or three of us from that meeting got together and compiled that letter. And we thought it was appropriate to list all of the nonprofits that are within our community. And there was seven or eight, no, maybe 10 of them.
What are some of the nonprofits out there that didn't get a dime? Like Grange? Or is the Grange a nonprofit?
Grange is a nonprofit,
okay.
Yes.
And Brian, you can answer some of those too if you want to rattle some off.
We had Neighborhood Watch, the Grange.
There are churches out there?
The church.
The Ono Igo Community Church. They are the hub for distribution of supplies and everything while the fire was going on, as well as after the fire for weeks on end.
And they're so humble about it. They are. Yeah,
very much.
Yeah. So let's do this. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about how the meeting on Friday, because it was a brief meeting, Channel 7 had a statement from Stephanie Bridget, DA Stephanie Bridget, and I want to talk a little bit about that and about where we go from here. So with that, we'll be right back. Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
We are back. KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. I'm here with Shelby and Brian from the community of Igo Ono. And before the break, we just talked about Friday's meeting. So we've done the buildup of Wednesday, what's transpired. So, Shelby, so this Friday meeting, there's 5 of you. And then you're going into this meeting at the district attorney at 1:30. So tell me. Give me the play-by-play, and we've got about 8 minutes or so.
Sure.
Give me the play-by-play of what happened.
Well, it certainly won't take 8 minutes.
That was longer than the meeting from what I read in the paper. Yeah.
Yeah. So we, you know, kind of roundhouse together, and we stood in solidarity that we needed this recorded so that there wasn't an awful game of telephone.
Whose idea was it to record the meeting at first?
You know, I can't remember who brought it up. We had decided this in the big group.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And we took a vote on it.
Well, if there was like 20 or 30 people at your meeting on Wednesday, how many people were at the meeting on Wednesday?
About 20.
So, yeah, if 20 people and only 5 get to go in, I would want that recorded, I think, too, just to know what happened. Because all this is really about transparency. So, okay, so you went in, you guys talked about wanting it recorded. How did that go?
Well, they were kind of taken aback. They were shocked. The expressions on their face were Tim Garman, Stephanie Bridget, and I don't recall the investigator's name.
I don't either.
Okay, an investigator.
Investigator.
Was it an investigator from the district attorney's office?
Yes
the one who was who had investigated the actual fire and in the legal suit.
Okay, gotcha.
Which I thought was interesting because if they had read the letter, they would have known that we were not here to talk about the appeal in the criminal case.
Yeah.
You know, Tim had offered to take notes. Well, isn't notes good enough? And I'm sitting here thinking, you're going to take notes for what we report back? I'm not comfortable with that. And he said, well, I don't have a problem with recording it. But then Stephanie Bridget, you know, stepped in and said, you know, we were under the impression that this is going to be, you know, a private meeting off the record, and that she said I don't feel comfortable having this recorded unless I have my attorney here.
So the district attorney wants to have her own lawyer in her own building.
Correct.
So Brian, you're smiling, and the listeners can't see your big grin. So why the grin when the district attorney says she wants an attorney in her own building?
She's an attorney for the county. The district attorney, why does she need an attorney there if we're just asking simple questions?
Mm-hmm. Simple
questions. It doesn't make sense.
Okay. So, Shelby, so what? So they basically said no.
They said no. And at that point, we had another member that was getting a little heated. And I had to say, you know, it's okay. We're going to take this somewhere else. And I said, so what I'm understanding is that there will be no recording. And they said, no. And I said, then we have, unfortunately, no choice than to get up and walk out.
Okay, so you guys walked out. Almost, okay.
Not after Tim Garman looked at Brian and said, I'm ashamed of you.
So Supervisor Garman said to you, Brian, that he said this in front of everybody?
In front of everybody.
That he's ashamed of you.
Correct.
The person that really started this whole thing coming up. What I would say is a very brave move coming up in public comment, asking for help. He's ashamed of you.
Absolutely.
So, okay, so you guys all left. What was your response?
I can't remember what I said. I was taken back with it. Yeah. And so I just thought, why? We're just here to get answers. Why would you be ashamed? We want to record it so we can disseminate the information back to our other friends up there.
Too much stuff. I gotta say it. I don't want to rant, but too much stuff is done where let's go into a dark room, pull the curtains, and have a soundproof room and have discussions. I mean, I'm so sick and tired of that in Shasta County. Or maybe in the world, but I didn't know it went on as much in Shasta County. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox. Okay, so Tim, so you guys go outside. Brian, you get in your car.
I do, and then I get a phone call asking me to come back in.
From who?
From Tim Garman. Okay. And I said, okay, I'll do it. But I said, okay, I want to just talk about how we can get the group back together.
Yeah.
And not talk about the nuts and bolts of what we were here for. And I said, there's one way to do it, and that's to record the session.
And you said this when you went back inside, or you said this
on
the phone?
No, I said that back inside. I did go back in the office. And we chit-chatted, and I said, I have some major concerns. Everybody has major concerns.
Yeah.
And that's the way it left.
So let me ask. So he said he's ashamed of you. And, I mean, are you friends with Tim? I mean, I'm curious that he says that, and then he calls you to come back in.
I'm friends in the fact that he is the county supervisor. I have asked him to help us up there for other things with trash and various things. He has done that. And then I attended his church once. So that's pretty much the extent of our friendship.
Okay.
I've never had him over for dinner and never gone out to lunch with him.
Yeah, I'm just curious as to, okay, so what are the, Shelby, what are the next, like, what are the next steps? Like what I don't understand is, I guess, is that there's five people there and you guys were like, why was he not ashamed of you, Shelby, if you're the one that was leading the meeting and got up and walked out? Like, I know, Brian, you're coming more from the criminal prosecution side.
Correct.
Like you have a real bone to pick about the criminal prosecution, as do I. Mm-hmm. Shelby, you and I discussed, you're not so much bothered by the criminal prosecution side. You care more about the settlement dollars and where those dollars have gone to rebuild the community. When I say rebuild the community, a lot of that money isn't going to rebuild Igalono.
Right.
It's going to rebuild other people and their initiatives, albeit possibly all great initiatives. I don't know many of those nonprofits, so I can't articulate.
Taxpayer-funded entities.
Correct. Yes. So where does this go, Shelby, in your eyes now? Like, where? I mean, has this kind of smoothed it over for you, where you feel like, okay, people are working, or are you more fired up than ever?
Neither.
Or somewhere in between. Okay.
Somewhere in between. Yeah. You know, if this is far from over. I sat down here with you today because you were willing to listen to me, and I will continue to keep meeting with people who are willing to listen to me, because up until this point, no one was willing to listen to us.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the way I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
You know, just keep talking about it. Make it known, because we're forgotten out there in southwestern Shasta County. Always have been, even before I've been around, you know, just how it is. So if we keep talking about it and bringing this to the surface, maybe,
Brian,
it'll go somewhere.
Yeah, Brian, how about yourself? Like, where does this lie for you now? Like,
I'd like to see what happens at the Board of Supervisors meeting in regards to the criminal prosecution.
Yeah,
and going up to the Attorney General, and
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And not letting that die a quick death.
No, that it's not going to die a quick death, because, you know, ironically. DA Stephanie Bridget, I mean, she's absolutely entitled to her own representation, her own attorney. I mean, it was interesting to me. Like, I know attorneys have attorneys all the time. That's not new. But for something that is, I would say, as trivial as just answering honest, open questions about a settlement or about a case, I mean, I think that's the – because that's where the real answers come in, is when questions are posed off the cuff and you don't have the opportunity to script a press conference or answers. I mean, that was one of the things that really started this, is when we had the meeting at the Board of Supervisors, and I asked, Ms. Bridget some questions about the grapevine tree and if it was marked by PG&E. And, you know, legalese can be slipped in there, but when stuff is caught, like some things were in that meeting, I think that's what opens these cans. And I think recording it, I don't think there's anything not just wrong with that. I think that's appropriate. And so here's what I'll say, too. in closing with this. Like, I'm not going to let it go. We're definitely going to send this letter off to the Attorney General because I think it proves the point that if Stephanie, DA, District Attorney Stephanie Bridget, if she wants her own attorney to make sure that it's something is navigated properly, that is all the Board of Supervisors are going to be asking the Attorney General for, is saying, hey, we would like our own attorney to look into this because we believe there is definitely the opportunity still for a criminal prosecution of PG.